You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your hosts here, Colt Molesky and Trey Flynn, bring you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure you're checking out the Locked On NBA podcast. That's a great place to get you updated for all your information and recent news around the NBA you love to watch so much. Make sure you're checking that out right after you're listening to this podcast. Today we're going to be talking all about the Boston Celtics. And boy, I don't know, this is a team, last time going into this game, I talked about how this team, if you let the Boston Celtics get hot, it felt like this was going to be a real jumping off point. And last time the Timberwolves played the Boston Celtics, they're kind of going back and forth. They were having real struggles. Now the waters have seemed to clear just a little bit for the Boston Celtics since playing the Timberwolves, and now they're 21-15 versus the Timberwolves 17-20. And the Timberwolves are going to be on the road. This has got to be the hardest place to play in all of basketball, no?
Yeah, Boston is definitely one of the hardest places to play, and it doesn't help to how deep this team is with Gordon Hayward being back in this lineup this season. Obviously, they're still figuring out a lot of things, but this is definitely one of the more difficult franchises to play right now. It doesn't matter that they're in the Eastern Conference. Kyrie Irving's just been playing like an MVP. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum are such a fun young duo to have, and then having a guy like Al Horford to be the helm of the defensive end on the veteran that he is fantastic. And when Gordon Hayward hopefully figures it out, which I guess he figured it out against Minnesota, it seems like the only game he's figured out this season. When he figures it out, this team will be ridiculous.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And the thing of it is, too, is that they've seemed to have some success already by bringing Gordon Hayward off the bench and starting Marcus Smart. And so that right there is a lineup that's going to give you physicality. And you think about if you're playing Marcus Smart versus Andrew Wiggins, a guy who is already pretty easy to throw off his game. Right there, I think that's a new matchup in this game. Well, actually, I think they were starting Marcus Smart when they came to Minnesota, but I think that's a big matchup right there when you're starting Marcus Smart with his defensive physicality against Timberwolves players like Andrew Wiggins, like Robert Covington. I think that's an edge for them. And then you think about Jason Tatum, the slow start he had versus how he's been kind of heating up as of late. That's another area where I think it's going to be a real edge for the Boston Celtics, where they have almost like they're refinding this young asset in Jason Tatum. And a couple of these things are really stacking up to make this a tough game on the road for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I think the glaring spot on the Boston Celtics defensive end, which Minnesota needs to find a way to attack, is their four. Boston plays with a weak defensive four, Marcus Morris. And in Morris's credit, he's a great offensive player. In the past three games, he's averaging 20 points per contest, 50% from field goal and three. So he's definitely an offensive powerhouse. But guys have been able to take him over on the defensive end the past few games, whether it was Jaren Jackson Jr. against Memphis or LaMarcus Aldridge on Monday night. They're just taking advantage of that weak spot. So that's definitely a spot to watch out for. Also, Kyrie Irving is questionable going into this game. He had an eye issue on Monday. I poked in the eye, and they said he wasn't practicing too well yesterday. So that's something to look out for, too. But, they're really – it's just hard to find a weakness on this Boston Celtics team. They're pretty stacked, and not to mention they have arguably the second or best coach in the NBA right now.
Yeah. Brad Stevens is one of the best that the league has to offer. So let's dive into a couple of the matchups here. I think obviously the key right away is going to be seeing, first of all, can Towns keep this hot streak going? We talked about this yesterday, where we've seen him go a month or 3 weeks on a stretch where he is just dominant and just takes over games. The first question really in my mind is, if he is that dominant Towns that he has been the last couple of games, not only on offense but also on defense, is that enough to push them over the hump against the Celtics?
I think so. I mean, he's been, you know, he's been on a real tear recently. He's averaging 31 points a contest in the past three games, 40% from three. And he's really getting to the line, too. He's averaging 10 free throws a game in these past three contests. So he's playing extremely well. So it's definitely enough to get Minnesota to compete with Boston. Unfortunately, I don't think it'll be enough to pull away with the win. What they need to do, first of all, my first key to this game, besides Karl-Anthony Towns having a big game, which I just expect from him at this point, is to stop Hayward and or Brown off the bench. Gordon Hayward had 30 points in his game against Minnesota earlier this year, and that was by far his biggest Boston Celtics contest. And Jaylen Brown has just been on a tear recently, too. So if they can figure out how to stop those two guys, Hayward and Brown off the bench, I think, Minnesota will be taking the first step in the right direction besides getting Karl-Anthony Towns started. And also, you know, just don't give Marcus Morris space. He's been playing like such a offensive powerhouse, like I said earlier this season, averaging 52% from three, taking six threes a game, 91% from the charity stripe. He's playing like he's got 1 year on his contract, which he does. He has 1 year on his contract left. He's really hoping for a big payout this summer. So he's been playing super well for them right now. Luckily, guys like Terry Rozier is having such an off year. Marcus Smart on the defensive end is always amazing, but he's shooting very poorly this year. And, of course, Gordon Hayward's just trying to figure it out. But the guy who is kind of surprising who hasn't played well in the past three games, to take a micro example, is Jason Tatum. He's averaging 7.7 points per game, 40% from field goal, 14% from three. And from three-pointer all season long, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, the two young studs for Boston, have been playing so poorly from three-point line. So Kyrie Irving's really been the helm of this team, and he's really held them together, playing like a true superstar that a lot of people had questions going into the season because he was injured a lot last year. Now he's being the true superstar that we all thought he was, and definitely an all-star, and he's definitely an MVP running in the top 10 at least. So as long as Kyrie Irving's in this Boston Celtics game, it's going to be tough for Minnesota.
Well, and Jaylen Brown, too, you talked about that three-point shooting, but in the last four games, Jaylen Brown hitting 40% from the three-point line. And so that's one of the areas, too, where if you're looking at how Kyrie Irving has played well, I love Kyrie Irving, and I think that he is a superstar, but it also helps when you have guys like Jaylen Brown able to stretch the floor better around him than just Kyrie Irving trying to do all the stuff on his own. And so I think you're seeing all of these pieces kind of fall into place over the course of the season, and the only thing that's different from last year is that we kind of expected it to happen a little quicker, and while it took a couple of months, now I think you're seeing everything kind of fall into place for Boston, and all of this is not good for the Timberwolves, especially with an injury. But we'll talk about that after a break for some sponsors. So the Timberwolves are going to be on the road against the Celtics. Already been talking about the improvements that the Celtics have been seeing over the course of the last couple of weeks in their team, but I was looking at Derrick Rose's injury status. According to an update from CBS, it looks like he'll still probably be out for this game. I think that might be the most crucial thing going into this game, not which players are going to be hot, not which players are going to have an impact for Boston or the Timberwolves, but the fact that Derrick Rose is going to be out, I think maybe is the biggest swing in this game.
Yeah, it definitely is going to hurt Minnesota if they can't get Derrick Rose back in this game, and I do see that too. RotoWorld has him out for tonight as of right now. A guy to watch out for too is Jeff Teague. He's on the cusp of coming back. He's questionable. Ultimately, I'd like to see Tyus Jones get the starting point guard spot again. I think he played extremely well against New Orleans with that double-double game, playing very efficiently, and not just getting empty assists. He was running around the court. He was at mid-range, cutting from both sides. He was doing everything off the ball I really wanted him to do, even when he was dribbling around and getting his facilitating numbers. So a guy to definitely watch out for would be Jeff Teague to see if he comes back or not. Also, just Andrew Wiggins, as we've talked about before, this is one of those games where If he could have like that Gordon Hayward-esque game that Hayward had against us earlier this season, if he can pull up a good 25 points this game and kind of help Karl-Anthony Towns out and isn't just, sitting in the corner by himself, or even Robert Covington, who's been playing very well as of late, if Karl-Anthony Towns essentially can just get some help besides him just trying to be the lone superstar on this team, I think Minnesota has a chance with a hampered Kyrie and a team that's still trying to figure it out because they have so many tools in the toolbox in Boston, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But you can tell they're not all the way there yet. And they're 3-5 in the past 8 games. Minnesota's 4-4. So there is a chance for Boston to start to, regress right now going into January, into the new year. So I think we might be catching them off on a bad start as they lost to San Antonio on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a little up and down, too, you see, over the last couple of games. They have the loss to San Antonio and the loss to the Rockets, so there is a chance there that maybe you can be catching them on a little bit of a downturn, and hopefully that means something good for the Timberwolves. Unfortunately, both those San Antonio and Rockets games were on the road, and they'll be back home against the Timberwolves. Another guy that sticks out to me is somebody who could be kind of a key player, Robert Covington again, and I mentioned him going into the matchup against the Celtics the first time and how he kind of struggled when he was with Philadelphia, and how having point guards who can shoot with him is a luxury that I think he can really help the Minnesota Timberwolves, especially against the Celtics, and how he can stretch the floor and make it harder for guys like Marcus Morris or Al Horford to play defense against Towns. If he knocks down 3 or 4 threes in that first half and really spaces the floor for Carl, I think that could be something that really opens up the floor and really gives Cat a chance to kind of go ham in that third quarter there. And I think that's what you're setting up for, right, is what can make the Timberwolves most successful in that third, fourth quarter, because that's really been defining for them. How they finish out games kind of determines their success. I know that may be kind of obvious, but for a team that struggled so mightily last year in the fourth quarter and in the third quarter, the difference for them is if they can find a successful third quarter, it really seems like they can finish out a game really well. And I think that if you're stretching the floor, hitting some shots from deep, especially with a guy like Covington in transition, hitting some threes, that opens up the floor really well for Karl-Anthony Towns. And I think that is a difference right away in that first half.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that, Minnesota can't afford to start this game slow, too. Being in Boston, especially with Boston going to a 4-game home streak here, they're going to be at home 4 games in a row, and Boston doesn't want to start off this by losing to the Minnesota Timberwolves, a 13th seed in the Western Conference. They do not want to start the season off like that. And with the veteran that Al Horford is trying, and I'm sure he knows his tricks to try to calm Karl-Anthony Towns down from this past few games he's had, his crazy stretch of averaging over 30 points a game and 15 rebounds, I'm sure he's going to have some things ready for him. We're going to have to rely on other guys. And unfortunately, we're hampered with injuries with Rose, who was our best player against Boston earlier this year, who shot 11 of 18, 26 points. We're going to have to rely on some other guys, whether it's Robert Covington, Andrew Wiggins, Dario Saric, somebody else. The biggest weakness of this team, besides the power forward position, where maybe Saric or Gibson could take advantage of Marcus Morris, would be their poor defense on the backcourt. They do not defend well against the point guard position, just in general. They're averaging right now 20 points to their point guard opponent each game this season. And that's really to a lack of defense on Kyrie Irving's credit. And also Terry Rozier is terrible off the bench on the defensive end. Absolutely awful. One of the worst defenders in the NBA right now. So the one guy who could really stop that for them would be Marcus Smart, but he's going to have a lot of work on his end with Andrew Wiggins, because they're going to try to switch him on Wiggins a lot. So I really expect Tyus Jones to get more, not only facilitating options in this game, but more offensive freedom. In this past game, he shot 6 of 11 and 1 for 2 from 3. But just getting to the line a couple times, too, was really important for him. He was all over the court. So if he can try to pull up another game like that, I think Minnesota will really have a chance down the stretch in this game. But they have to start off hot. They cannot start off cold in this game. It can't be a typical Minnesota game where they feel the other team out. They have to come out firing. And if it comes out to, like, Robert Covington shooting 3 threes the first 3 minutes of the game, I'm totally fine with that. They just have to come out at least trying.
let's take another break for some sponsors, and let's talk about some coaching. Getting you prepped for the Celtics game. Timberwolves are going to be on the road. That's tonight. And when you look at the Celtics, one of the things that always comes to the mind, you mentioned it earlier, Brad Stevens, one of the best coaches in the NBA. Definitely like top three, could argue he's the best coach right now in the NBA. But you think about all the wrinkles that he adds coaching-wise. You think about all the different lineups that he's running, all the different plays that he – the little wrinkles that he's giving the Celtics throughout a game. And now you look at the Timberwolves side of things, and Tibbs has had his struggles over the last couple of years in Minnesota coaching. But you go into this game, you're starting Tyus Jones, assumably, because it looks like Derrick Rose is going to be out. And Teague is probably, if he's coming back, he's not going to be 100%. So he's probably not starting. And he's probably playing a little bit of a restricted minutes role if he's coming back, I'm assuming, tonight. And so already you're showing the Celtics a little bit different of a look, because Tyus Jones only played 15 minutes last time they met up. What are a couple of things the Timberwolves could do to give the Celtics a little bit of a different look, give them a few different lineups? What are some creativity things that you want to see from the Timberwolves to try and throw back some of the creativity strategy that you see the Celtics throw at so many teams?
Well, because the Celtics have kind of adapted this small ball basketball lineup, whether it's Semi Ojeleye going to the center position after Al Horford goes out, who's really a true four, not a five, or starting even Morris or Hayward at the four at times, or even putting Jaylen Brown at the four sometimes, paired with Jason Tatum at the wing. Minnesota has the chance to really finally do what we've been talking about on this pod, and what some Minnesota analysts have been talking about for since the trade of Jimmy Butler, was try to switch Covington over to that four, get Wiggins at that three. If you want to, put Okogie at that two and Tyus Jones at that one, and run that fast-paced floor-running option team where Karl Anthony Towns can run up the floor and try to be his athletic self that he's being right now, and let everybody be a defensive powerhouse and try to get steals and go in transition and get solid buckets on transition. And I think that's a possibility in this Boston Celtics game. I think guys like Taj Gibson, unfortunately, are going to see themselves out of this game fairly quickly. I can only see like a solid 20 minutes from Gibson. I just think that they're going to find Gibson on his heels a lot, and he's going to be kind of slow. Even Dario Saric, possibly. It's going to be up to guys, whether it's getting guys like James Neely or even Anthony Tolliver quicker minutes in this game. Whoever it is, there just needs to be a faster-paced offense and defense in this game. And luckily, with Boston playing a smaller lineup, you can kind of do that if you're Minnesota. So I'd like to see that from Tom Thibodeau.
Well, that's where I was thinking too, when you're saying when you're thinking about the Boston Celtics and kind of those small lineups they run, I thought this was a really good opportunity. Maybe you could throw some Anthony Tolliver at them. I mean, you're looking at the minutes distribution. You didn't really see any of Anthony Tolliver or James Nunley, and you could throw one or both of those guys out there in your second unit, give them a couple different looks, and maybe try and really space the floor, maybe try and really go fast against them. And when the Celtics try and go small ball, match that and try and beat their pace as well, try and get them on their heels. If you can go out there, you already talked about some of the defensive struggles for a couple of those players on their bench that they've been having. If you can go out there and really put the Boston Celtics second unit on their heels and add pressure on that first unit, this is a team that has had its struggles even at home at times, and they've already had taken their lumps this season. I think if you can get them backpedaling a little bit in any part of the game, even if it's just that second unit, I think that's a real edge for the Timberwolves. And if you're showing some creativity early and doing some different things, I think that's going to open up a few things for you later in the game. I mean, if you have somebody like Anthony Tolliver getting hot in the second quarter against that second unit, maybe you bring him in and play him a little more in the third quarter. Maybe you find him some more minutes in the third quarter, and that opens up a couple of different things for the Timberwolves. It's just stuff like that that I think you got to be open to.
Yeah, I mean, again, we've been talking about this for a while now. Creativity, innovation, these are the kind of things that breed success, especially with teams that are super young, like Minnesota is. People forget how really young they are. And people criticize, myself included, Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns a lot. These guys are, 23, 22 years old. They're very, very talented, especially Towns. And it's going to take time for a lot of these guys to really get going and be the superstars that they want to be, or what fans want them to be too. And if Tom Thibodeau needs to be more innovative to get some of these guys fired up, then that's what he needs to do. And, you know, and just looking at like the coaches, kind of what the earlier point you were making is, this is really going to be, I think at the end of the day, how well these two teams are coached is who's going to win this basketball game, even with Kyrie Irving playing or not. I'm that confident going into Boston tonight somehow. I don't know what it is. There might be this black tea I'm having. I have no idea, but I'm confident going into this Boston game tonight. It's going to end up being a coaching battle. And as much as I like Brad Stevens, if Tom Thibodeau can come out with some strong creativity, I think we can pull out a late W here.
So with that confidence, let's give a game prediction.
Okay, so I'm going to say it'll go 118-113 Minnesota. I think it's going to be all the way down to the stretch. I think we're going to go down to a minute, maybe 45 seconds left, and we're going to see some big buckets from Rocco and some solid offensive rebounding from Carl Anthony Towns on the other end. I think that we're going to just see finally maybe a breakaway from Minnesota. We're starting to see in the standings that teams are starting to pull away in the playoff standings. Minnesota's 4.5 games back from postseason right now, which is the farthest they've been. And so they can't let that happen. So in a way, this is a first must-win game if you want to make the playoffs. So I think that, again, it's going to be a head coaching battle. So I would say like a 118-113, 120-115, high scoring, not a lot of defense. I want to see a lot of high, fast-paced games. It's in Boston. It's going to be hectic. But I would say Minnesota pulls away with this one late.
I wish I had your confidence, my friend. I'm thinking like a 115-110 type of game favoring Boston. It's just really without Derrick Rose to kind of go shot for shot at times with Kyrie, and then at home, I really have trouble with the Timberwolves winning this game. I do think that Towns has another monster game. I think he puts up like a 30 and 16 points and rebounds type of game, and I think he does have another big night defensively with blocks and steals, but I just don't know about the supporting cast. It's a real struggle for me if you have Kyrie Irving on one side scoring buckets and then you need buckets from your point guard on the other side to have Tyus Jones be that guy. He's just struggled so mightily scoring for himself. And so that's kind of the big block for me, is that the point guard differential is so big going into this game. And so I still think it's tight because I still think Towns is going to have a monster night. But I see the Celtics ending up with that edge at the end of the night. But you know what? I hope you're right.
Yeah, well, again, this might just be the tea. I could lose my mind right now. That might be very well true. I'm listening to myself, and I know how good Boston is. It's just I don't really think – and I have Boston probably going to – I have them going to the Eastern Conference Finals right now. I'm not going to say anything more on that before, you know, I get myself in trouble. But I think they haven't figured it out yet. I really don't think they figured it out yet. I don't think they figured out these lineups yet. And it's kind of, obvious just looking at micro examples of the past few games, past 5-10 games. They just don't really know what to do with the Tatum, Brown, Hayward lineup. And so I'm confident going into this game that Minnesota really only has 8 to 9 players to choose from, because sometimes, even though you're injury riddled, it gives you less options, which sometimes means better options. So it'll be interesting going into this game. Again, I think it's a coaching game, but ultimately me and my tea, we're going to stick with this, and we're going to go into this game with a W, hopefully.
That black tea confidence, I love it. I think you should drink more of this stuff before we record, to be quite honest with you. The fiery takes are coming in. All right, well, that's it for us. You heard it here. Trey thinks that the Timberwolves can pull this out. I think it's going to be a close win for the Celtics. Either way, it sounds like we're both on the same train of that this is going to be a tight game, even though it's in Boston, which means it's definitely worth your time watching. Make sure you're checking out. Make sure you're checking us out tomorrow, because we'll be talking about how the Celtics game goes and the next game for the Timberwolves around the corner. Thank you so much for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.